You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. As the school year starts to gear up for students, parents, and teachers, it's also winding down for the politicians who make decisions on education policy, which makes it a good time to consider some of the education bills currently sitting on the governor's desk. Joining me once again at the Chalk Talk board to unpack some of these bills is Shristi Pabha, CAP Radio's education reporter. Shristi, are you ready to get your Chalk Talk on?
I am.
So what's going on in education?
Well, majorly, like you mentioned, many education bills are waiting on the governor's desk to be signed into law. And I've been talking to some youth advocates on priority pieces of legislation, and one is on menstruation education.
Now, that sounds interesting. What's going on there?
Well, Alan, did you know that learning about menstruation is not part of California's sexual health education curriculum?
No, didn't know that. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's a little surprising, right, that menstruation is not a mandated topic when discussing sexual health. I personally did not know that much myself, and I had to go through the shock of getting my own period with no real education culturally and in high school, and I went to high school in California. What did you know, Alan?
Well, I mean, the topic sounds really important for young girls, but I think for everyone, too. I mean, my knowledge base on this issue, it probably started when I learned on the schoolyard. I mean, I just knew embarrassingly little then and now. I mean, as a kid, you pick up stuff from movies. You know, there's that stereotypical girl or woman's acting emotionally,
right,
and they call her out for being on her period.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really learn about this stuff until I was dating and ultimately living with my wife. So in other words, yeah, I have never been actually taught this, and it certainly is important. What are students currently taught about menstruation?
Yeah, that's a good question. Existing law is the California Healthy Youth Act, which requires school districts to teach sexual health. So that would be HIV prevention, sexually transmitted infections, pregnancy, contraception, but not menstruation.
So basically nothing.
Yeah.
So are you saying we're close to having students learn about this at the appropriate age?
So yeah, this is AB 2229. This bill would additionally include information about menstrual health, which includes premenstrual syndrome, which you mentioned, PMS, we all get it sometimes, menstrual hygiene management, menstrual disorders. These would be things that you would actually have to learn now in the state.
I can't believe menstruation isn't already a topic in health class. I mean, given the age of the students in health class, I would think it'd be like a day one topic. So how did this bill come to be?
Yeah, this bill is unique in that the idea came from a Solano-based high school student named Sriya Srinivasan and her journey with her own period.
I lost my period and had absolutely no idea why. And so I searched up on the internet, on my computer, like why I lost my period, and was met with a deluge of misinformation ranging from ovarian cancer all the way to different kinds of terminal illnesses. And so I was like, whoa, this is kind of crazy. And I didn't tell anybody because I was petrified myself. I knew my parents would be petrified. And so stayed silent. 3 years later, did I go to the hospital for a running injury. And unfortunately, I was diagnosed with anorexia nervosa. So that was where I was hit with the facts.
So when she was diagnosed with anorexia, that's when she learned that her period could be impacted by an eating disorder. And let's not forget that, like, culture plays a huge role in her understanding of sexual health. So she didn't get that from her South Asian parents, and she didn't get it at school.
It sounds like no matter what your gender is, if you grow up in California, you're learning about menstruation from your friends. And if you're lucky, maybe your family.
You're right. I definitely learned more from my friends at school than from my family. And that's also how Sriya realized that many young women felt the same way.
When I conversed about this with my friends in PE, they were like, oh my gosh, wait, that happened to me. We were starting to notice that all of us had issues with our menstrual cycle, even though that they were different. But we just didn't know what was going on. I wondered, how could we change this? Like, how could we, like, make it so that people didn't have to experience what I did?
So Sriya felt menstrual education should be part of the school's curriculum, including menstrual disorders, which is something she was personally affected by. And she brought it to her local assemblyperson, Lori Wilson, so that no other young people would have to go through her experience. And I'll say, I would have benefited this from a high school student in California, since I had to fight for years before I was diagnosed with endometriosis. Here are some of Sriya's last thoughts.
California Healthy Youth Act that's currently in California did not specifically mention menstrual education once. We didn't even have a standard to meet ever in this curriculum. I was not told anything about menstrual health other than I had a uterus and I knew what that looked like in fifth grade. And so for this bill to be implemented, for students to at least acknowledge the fact of the matter that menstruation exists and that there are stigmas and taboos associated with it, the irregularities, everything that is listed out in the bill text, that is an enormous increase from what currently exists in the California Healthy Youth Act.
Shreya sounds like a pretty courageous student. I would be exploding with pride if one of my girls did this as a teenager. Do you know how the state's going to accommodate this change?
It's just a few $100,000. Some would call that budget dust. Bigger curriculum changes can cost more money and get nixed. But since this bill is relatively cheap, I think there is a high probability it'll get signed into law.
So switching gears, I understand this is going to be a big year for climate change resilience in the schools. What's going on?
Yeah, I had three stories related to this over the past few years. One of them was about a bill on Governor Newsom's desk, which would account for climate change on school campuses.
I mean, that seems pretty basic, preparing for climate change. I certainly hope that schools are already doing this.
Well, they're not right now.
Well, that's kind of crazy. I mean, everyone living in this region is dealing with extreme heat, wildfires, droughts, sometimes flooding. How are schools adapting to these changes? And like, what's going on at the state level?
So the education bill on Governor Gavin Newsom's desk would create a master facility plan to decarbonize schools and create climate resilient infrastructure.
Climate resilient infrastructure. Kind of a mouthful. What yeah. is it?
Climate resilient infrastructure is stuff like greener schoolyards, more shade, solar roofing, rainwater collection, moving away from asphalt, energy efficient ACs. So this bill would require a representative sample of schools to report their energy usage, their ground surface materials, and water expenditure. And then based on that, they would create a statewide master plan to have climate-resilient school facilities by March of 2026. And this is important because some of the oldest schools in the state are over a century old. So they really do need to be reevaluated.
That's really old, 100 years.
yeah.
Does this master plan address, I mean, one thing that's like on a lot of people's minds, kids breathing wildfire smoke in the classroom?
Yeah, it would definitely force schools to check their HVAC systems, which are, you know, that's what would happen. That and also windows, right? Like, are they sealed properly when you're having wildfire smoke?
I mean, I hope so. Like every time our water, our air quality meter goes in the red from a wildfire, I start thinking about ways to protect my family, you know, my two little ones with their little lungs. Mm-hmm. Keeping them safe in the classroom is absolutely the top of my mind. And I'm sure a lot of parents and teachers feel this way. But who else? Who else is talking about this?
So a 2023 NPR and PBS poll found that 60% of young voters across party lines list climate as a top issue. And this is probably because climate change is something that has hit so close to home for so many youth. It might for your daughters, right? So I spoke to two youth advocates, one named Liliana Karish from Napa High School and one named Cash Marquardt from West Campus High School in Sacramento. And they both talked about how wildfires really impacted their learning. Liliana talks about how smoke was coming into the rooms because of poor window ceiling and also poor air conditioning systems. And, you know, Cash said a similar thing in Sacramento where he could just see the room full of smoke and then had to be kept home because he has asthma and it was really detrimental to his health to be in school. And those were unexcused absences. So both of them were like impacted. Your education was impacted by this. But they also think that this master plan would assess school sites for climate resilience and hold them accountable for better practices. And Cash specifically feels this needs to happen now. A similar piece of legislation was vetoed by Newsom last year. And Cash feels that the longer we wait, the harder it will be to retrofit a lot of these buildings.
Well, the master plan sounds really super important, and I hope it stays on track. It's an urgent topic. I understand we're also taking some steps related to climate change in local schools. Today, we're focusing on Elk Grove Unified. We've talked about focusing on different districts and counties for these different Chalk Talk episodes. Shristi, what's going on in Elk Grove?
Yes, let's focus on Elk Grove. So, I want to ask you a question. Has your child ever had chana masala for school lunch and thought, wow, this contributed to the reduction of carbon emissions?
If I could get my 5-year-old to eat chana masala or my 1-year-old, that would be a total win. Maybe the connection to carbon emissions comes at a later age. But you tell me, what is the connection?
Great question. So beef entrees are 20 times more carbon intensive than plant-based protein. And switching reduces greenhouse gas emissions and also has a significant reduction in carbon emissions.
Shristi, I gotta make a confession. I can't even get my kids to eat anything other than chicken nuggets. Sometimes we hide the veggie nuggets in with the chicken nuggets. As they grow older, I want to diversify their palate. What's the status of plant-based meals in Elk Grove?
Yeah, Elk Grove is one of the most diverse districts in the state, and that's notable because they have a huge population they have to serve it with different types of dietary restrictions. So Elk Grove Unified's Director of Food Services, Michelle Drake, started experimenting with plant-based options in 2019 when they had an influx of Afghan refugees in the area. And she talked about how adding the plant-based protein allowed them to actually meet the cultural needs of their community, which with the meat was much more difficult. So now they add tofu and bean because that's a much simpler option. And they've started making their own hummus. And so she's hitting two birds with one stone. She's addressing the diversity of Elk Grove, but also reducing carbon emissions.
I love hummus. We go through like two tubs every week at our house. Sounds like Elk Grove is crushing it on sustainable cafeteria food. What about the rest of the schools? I mean, and also, where's the state at on this issue?
Well, I want to say this hummus. I also really love hummus. They said that all their students are really into the hummus they're making from scratch. So if you're in Elk Grove, definitely tell your student to go try that hummus. Statewide, so we had a recent report from the Friends of the Earth that surveyed 25 of the largest school districts' meals over the past 5 years, and they found that schools are changing their lunches to diversify the menu while helping the environment. So they've gone from offering plant-based lunch items only 7% of the time to 11% of the time, and that meat usage at schools has decreased by 6% over the last 5 years. In the opinion of the report, California has invested a good amount of money into healthier and sustainable food practices, but they need to continue.
Well, I hope it continues. Shristi, thanks so much for being here and bringing us the latest edition of Chalk Talk.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
This is always so much fun. Shristi Prabha is CAP Radio's education reporter. Coming up, Sacramento musician Alex Jenkins, the jazz percussionist known for his fusion of global rhythms, is here to talk about his new album. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. We're back in just a moment.